You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We've got a couple of topics prepared for you, but sometimes we will go off the beaten path and, you know, go on a tangent if we want to. That is the nature. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode. We've got a couple topics in sports, entertainment, and odd news that we want to share with you. But before we delve into all of the news that's fit to listen to here on a two-hour podcast, we like to do a little personal tidbit to let you know what's going on in our lives. So, Mike, what's happening? How you doing since our last broadcast?
I'm pretty good. I went to my younger cousin's birthday, so that was fun.
Okay.
And I also got a chance to watch, this is going to sound weird because it's not really a movie that you would peg me as wanting to watch, but I watched Instant Family. Yeah.
So what is that?
It's I'll tell you. It's a sort of hokey family comedy movie. I just wanted something light, something that was heartwarming, and I was going through, you know,
and Schindler's List didn't cut it for you.
Yeah, you know, I was hovering over Schindler's List, and I was like, ooh, it was just not heartwarming enough.
Yeah,
you know.
No, okay.
So I decided we landed on Instant Family.
Instant Family.
It's got, now this will show you how much this is not my type of movie. It's got Mark Wahlberg in it. All right. I'm not a fan of Mark Wahlberg.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like Mark Wahlberg?
You didn't know that? No, I don't like Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, he's all
right. It's kind of douchey.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like his biggest fan, but like I want to. So wait, so if Mark Wahlberg's in a movie, you want to go see it, period? Like, is it like that level?
Well, obviously not, because I did rent this movie, but if Mark Wahlberg's in it, I'm always like, eh.
Okay.
He's just one of those actors where I'm like, eh, I don't really care for how he plays his roles, and I don't know, I'm just not a fan.
Okay.
Just not a fan of Mark Wahlberg.
No Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah,
for
no
Mike.
Mark Wahlberg. So this movie's got Mark Wahlberg.
So you're not going to Wahlbergers?
No.
No, you would never support Wahlbergers?
One time they had a truck come to work. We had a food truck day. And the line for this truck went all the way down the parking lot.
For Wahlburgers.
For Wahlburgers. It was the most popular truck. And I stood in line in the rain for about 20 minutes. And the line was not moving. So I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just getting out. It's not worth it. And I just went to another food truck. And still, that line did not move the entire time. I got my food. I sat down, ate. And
well, that's just survival. That's fine.
That's just survival.
Yeah.
But they don't know what they're doing. Okay. Every other food truck was churning out food. Wahlburgers was like, how do we make fruit? I don't know. There's like 100 people lined up at this truck, and they're like, we have a chance to make a lot of money. Let's not serve anything.
I didn't know people actually want food from us.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It was wild. Side tangent aside, Instant Family was actually really good. It's a simple story about a couple who never had kids, and they decide, you know what, we might want to adopt. So instead of just adopting a little baby, which is like what a lot of people do, they go and they adopt a teenager, which is really tough, but then this teenager has two younger siblings, and they're also a different ethnicity than the couple, so it's like all these, you know, drama elements thrown in there, but it ended up being really touching, heartwarming story about, you know, not every family is a traditional family, and family is whatever you make it to be, and it was just like the right amount of sappy corniness that I needed, and it was wholeheartedly enjoyable. I highly recommend it.
Wow.
It wasn't very funny. For being a comedy, it wasn't very funny. It was a little emotional at the end. But it was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not necessarily a glowing review.
Yeah.
But it was something.
Interesting.
There you go.
Okay.
So that's what I did. I went to a birthday party. I watched Instant Family. And that's basically it, I think.
Okay.
Played some video games, but that's for later. Rich, what have you been up to?
Let me piggyback off of your movie review before I get into what I did this weekend, because something that I want to talk about that I got a chance to revisit was a personal favorite movie of mine this past weekend. I got to rewatch Big Fish.
Okay.
Turned out my mom had never seen it.
Oh.
So I wanted to show her that movie.
Okay.
It's a great movie. It's loaded with stars.
I can't remember if I watched it or I just think I watched
it. The premise is that a dying father, he's always told his son these tall tales about his life.
Right.
And the son, as he's starting to grow up and mature, he's realizing that these tales can't be true. You know,
right.
Like one of them is like his car got stuck in a tree.
Right. It has to be like a fable or something.
Right. And he's kind of fed up about it because he wants to know what his dad was really like. And it's a great movie. It's Ewan McGregor, Albert Finney, Danny DeVito. It's loaded with stars.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's great because it plays that line between is he telling the truth, but in a just exaggerated point of view? Or is this all completely made up?
Right.
And he just wants to prevent his son from ever thinking that he had a boring life.
Right.
It's great. And the ending is very emotional. It always... It's one of the best endings, I think, in film history.
Wow. That's very high praise.
And, it was. I just got to rewatch it. And it was just like, wow, I forgot how awesome this movie was.
Oh, man, you're making me want to watch
the movie. It's great. Yeah, if you haven't seen it.
Sometimes you just want to watch something that's heartwarming.
Yeah.
You know, because...
That would be my version of it.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch something heartwarming. It would be Big Fish.
Yeah. It's funny you brought up Schindler's List. But I was going through, like, the on-demand movies, and I was stopping over all the big Best Picture nominees from this past year. If Beale Street Could Talk, The Favorite. And I'm like, I can't bring myself sometimes to sit through a big 2-hour drama like that.
Yeah, sometimes it's overwhelming.
Like you have to be in the right mindset to dive into a heavy drama. Like,
right, something that involves a lot of, for lack of a better word, thinking or, analysis.
It's not even the thinking. It's like sometimes you're just not, your heart isn't in it.
Yeah.
You know, like to watch If Beale Street Could Talk, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know if I can bring myself.
Right, yeah, not right now. I need to watch. Yeah, you
something
have to be in
light.
In a good... Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So anyway.
Anyway, that'll be my movie recommendation if you haven't seen Big Fish. I got a chance to watch that. Also, before I get to what I did this weekend, I know I'm delaying this part of the show.
That's all right.
I want to give a shout out.
Oh, yes.
To our podcast brothers over at the Thoughts on Stuff podcast. They gave us a shout out for us hitting our 300th episode last week.
Yeah.
So it was really cool.
That was really nice.
Yeah,
they had some nice things to say about us.
Yep. And
thank
you. former guest on the show, Rick Moraki, he's one of the co-hosts on that podcast. They found their stride with the show, and it's a really funny show. He gave us some words of praise because he's been on the show a couple times here, and it was great. It was just one of those things.
He said we were structured.
Yeah, we were structured,
which I thought was funny.
Yeah, because sometimes we go off on tangents.
But yeah. We've been known to break out in a song and do some weird stuff.
Yeah.
But Rick Mark is a blast. We love having him on.
Right. So I just want to give the guys over at the Thoughts on Stuff podcast some props. Thank you for giving us a shout out on our 300th episode.
You'll get there one day, guys.
Yeah. They will.
We have to keep the friendly rivalry alive, right?
Yeah, that's right.
They called us out on that.
You know, it's one of those gentle pokes. It's great.
Right.
But seriously, thank you guys for the love and the shout out. Okay, so now to what I was actually doing this weekend. I was out on the concert scene. It was my first major concert weekend of the year. And the first one was something that I definitely now can check off my concert resume, as the great Pierre Robert says. And that was I finally got to see Kiss live in person. Yeah, I mean, I know it's not the original lineup, but it still counts in my mind with Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley.
Counts. Yeah.
So it was interesting to be as close as I could have been because they really do use a lot of fire and explosives. I was sweating. Yeah, it was definitely hot in the arena.
I mean, I could feel the flames. It was, whoa, all right.
Woo. That doesn't sound like it'd be good for you because you don't like fire and you don't like heat.
Yeah.
So you're like.
But it was just far enough.
It was just, okay. So yeah. it was still comfortable.
Right. I wasn't in the pit. Okay. But, like, I could still feel it. So I was at a safe distance.
The flames weren't licking your face.
Right, correct.
Okay.
Yes. But, yeah, it was definitely something that I always wanted to do because, you know, Kiss has a great catalog of songs.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just, you know, nice to check that off of my list and see it live before they go out because... The joke is that this is their farewell tour, but of course they've had three different farewell tours, so who knows if it really is.
Old rockers never really stop, though.
Right. I mean, as long as they
keep coming back. Look, they dragged up the Who from the dead to do that one Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
Several years back, you know.
So, I mean, it depends. It, basically, if they're healthy enough, they'll keep going back on tour, but... It is one of those things where, you know, the numbers start to lean a certain way.
Right.
You know, eventually it's like
probability is not on their side anymore.
Right now, yeah.
Well, like your boy, Jagger.
Yes, I do have to mention that real quick. Yeah, Mick Jagger has to have a heart procedure done, and that's postponing the Stones' most recent tour.
Yeah, so if you want to see them.
Yeah, luckily I got to see them a couple years ago through MMR.
Right.
And that was one of the best experiences of my life. If you have not seen Rolling Stones and they come back and they do this tour, you have to go see them. You need to be able to check that off of your list.
That's like your favorite band of all time is the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. I mean, and when I saw them a couple years ago, Mick Jagger was acting like he was 20. He was jumping off of the stage. You would not have thought he was an elderly man.
That's why he needs a heart surgery now.
Right. That's
because he's like 70-some years old and all those drugs and everything, and he's jumping around on the stage like a lunatic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's his signature style.
Right. And hopefully speedy recovery for Mick Jagger, because it would be a shame if the world lost the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
So rooting for Mick, and hopefully the Stones get back at it immediately.
I didn't mean to bring things down there.
My favorite music.
I know.
Help!
Well, why don't you talk about another one of your favorite bands?
Yes, that's right. Because Ghost made a quick headline that they're coming back into town for a quick U.S. tour at the end of 2019. So I'm happy about that. Hopefully I'll get to go see them at the end of the year. But also, our local tribute band, Ghoul BC, they had a show Saturday night at the Tusk on South Street.
They're killing it. They're always doing a show somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tribute to how well they put on a tribute for Ghost.
Yeah.
And they went back in time, actually, and resurrected Papa Emeritus I.
Oh,
so they jumped eras.
That's quite a few eras ago, though.
Well, not too many, but, you know, it was...
Weren't they up to, like, four Papas?
The Ghost is. Ghoul was at Papa 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's all confusing.
It's impossible to keep up. Now, is this lore canon? Like, where is this? You know, it's weird. You guys got this cool story stuff.
Yeah.
It's
Ghoul,
great.
Ghoul has their own thing.
Okay.
But it was great to see them live again. And they're expanding, too. They're trying to do the current tour. I think they're up to 7 band members now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many band members are in Ghost proper?
8. Right now, yeah.
So they're almost there.
Including Tobias. I'm including the singer, obviously.
Okay. They're almost there.
Yeah, they are. So they're about to hit actual Ghost status.
There you go.
But it's good to get my Ghost fix in with Ghoul BC. Hopefully they keep doing some more shows in the Philly area.
Your Ghost fix. It's like you're a druggie. It's like, I need that Ghost.
I need that Ghost fix. So, yeah. A lot of concerts I went to. This past week. All right, now it's time to jump into the news that we have ready to go. And the first batch revolve around sports. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Sports coming at you in your face here. And the first part of the show, we're going to hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
Time for the 2 minute drill. Let's arm the clock and go.
All right. First up in the 2 minute drill, we got some baseball news. Baseball season is officially underway, and our Philadelphia Phillies have a huge contract they have to validate, Rich. But the Phils are off to a very impressive start to the 2019 MLB season, sweeping the Atlanta Braves. First time they swept an opening season series since 2011 when they last were in the playoffs. Does this bode well for the Phillies that they're starting things off symbolically the same way they did back when they last made the playoffs?
I think it's a good sign that this is going to be an interesting season. The bats were on fire.
They still have a lot of games to win to validate that contract, but this is a good first step at least.
That's right. I mean, we still have, 150-some games to go.
Right.
But it's a good sign that the Phillies hit the ground running. Bryce Harper hit his first home run in a Phillies uniform. The lineup is looking pretty substantial.
That's all good news to hear. So, tickets are very expensive and they're running short, but try and get out there to see them this year. Things should be exciting.
Yeah.
And yes, it's finally that time of year, folks. We have to ease ourselves into a future with golf news.
Woo!
I know. It's going to be tough here, folks, but we're going to get you through it. Masters invitations have been sent out, and only 86 golfers will be invited to participate. I don't know what that means, but apparently it's the lowest since 1997 when Tiger Woods won. 3 years ago, the number was 88, and last year was already a record low at 87. Can Augusta Golf Club be any more arrogant? They keep lowering the number of people they invite. Like, is it just going to be one dude now?
Like, I know it's not supposed to be like the British Open and the U.S. Open where they're inviting amateurs and you have a massive field. But come on, Augusta. Loosen up a little bit. Invite some more golfers.
I want to know realistically, though, are we really losing out on that much?
Yes! Yes.
There you go. Heartbreaking news in golf.
Yes. And we'll talk about the Masters next week because it's already time. The first major. The Masters. Can't wait.
But until then.
But until then, we have
some football news.
Well, not quite. We have football news and we have heartbreaking football news, I'm afraid.
What happened?
Yes.
Oh, so sad.
Do you know anyone with $70 million that's interested in a defunct league? We have one that has lost its parents.
Oh, no.
The league is called the American Alliance Football League. For just the small sum of $70 million, you could help this defunct franchise live out its mission to help Johnny Manziel find a job. Please consider donating to the cause. I'm not joking. This is an actual plea.
So, the actual story, the AAF is officially shutting down.
Suddenly, kind of sudden.
They're taking donations. It's a trying time for everyone. But in all seriousness, that's hilarious. One. But two, yeah. So this was an upstart. It was supposed to be a minor league football team, right?
Yeah, right. It was supposed to act as like a minor league to the NFL.
Like a farm system kind of thing.
During the offseason, right.
And I guess they just didn't. From what I know, I know nothing about the AAF. I don't care to know much now that it's closing down. But from the three sentences
Don't you feel bad? You're supposed to be the football guy.
I mean,
this is like a lost puppy. How can you say things like that?
It's a shame. It's a shame that he was cut down in his prime before he had a chance to realize his full potential.
This poor league.
Yeah, just heartbroken. This song is just ridiculous. You can't listen to the song without thinking of like the poor little kids in some like poor country.
And now the sad
and the cats and the dogs and
the football is looking at you with sad eyes.
And now, right, all these business owners, we don't have a business anymore. So sad.
You're supposed to help them, Mike.
I'll just cut that check for $70 million right now.
Yeah, please help them.
Date it for 2099 because I'm never going to have that type of money.
Johnny Manziel needs your donations. What's he going to do? He can't go to the NFL.
No, he can't.
How about Johnny Manziel?
There's still the Canadian Football League.
No, he was in that.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Well, there's the XFL, maybe.
That's in the pipeline. That's still not confirmed. I mean, it's confirmed, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, well... Oh well, but I just can't muster that sympathy because it only lasted 8 weeks. they didn't work out because the NFL Players Association wouldn't play ball with them in lending out the young talent. They thought that it would be a violation of the collective bargaining agreement. There's a whole bunch of messy contract stuff, and the owners of the league just didn't want to put up the extra tens of millions of dollars to keep it going when there was so much opposition from everywhere. You know, so it seemed like doom from the start. Like, they should have hammered that stuff out beforehand.
Yeah.
You know?
I got to admit, though, it is one of those things that I'm sad about because the NFL is such a juggernaut.
It is.
You know, it's... I
gotta
hate
get
it.
Some competition.
Yeah.
Competition up in there.
Right. And is AAF is what you're supposed to call it. Because technically, league is not in the name of American Alliance.
It's super confusing.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, the point is, in this league, they actually allowed some great hits, you know?
The
NFL was, you know, Roger Goodell was freaking penalizing Clay Matthews for just touching the quarterback.
Right.
This league was allowing just full-blown, just, if you were holding on to, as a quarterback, you were holding on to the ball too long, guess what? You were going to get hit. You know, it was just a breath of fresh air to the football scene.
Well, it's a bunch of young, hungry players that want to make a name for themselves, and they're using it as a stepping stone. Like, hey, NFL teams, look at what I can do.
Yeah,
you know, it's what a farm system is supposed to do. And it got cut down before it could really fully realize its potential.
Yeah,
you know, so we don't know what it would have been because it had such a short stint. Oh wow.
Yeah. So unfortunately. No more football for you, Mike. It's only NFL now.
But that's all right, because I am going to keep bringing up NFL news for as long as I can. We have some free agency moves to talk about. The Eagles continue to make waves in the NFL free agency market. Defensive end Vinnie Curry returns to the team on a one-year, $2.25 million contract. He adds some much-needed depth to the depleted defensive line. Do you think we still target defense in the draft after some of the more recent moves?
I could definitely see that way. I could definitely see a safety or something like that to help out the back. But I think the bigger news that we have to talk about here is this trade for Jordan Howard, because this
rewrites the playbook for the offseason.
This immensely helps the offense. The weak point that we were all saying after this past season came to an end was, oh my God, the Eagles running back core is kind of lackluster, especially with Jay Ajayi being hurt and then leaving. We're relying on Darren Sproles and
nobody wants
Corey Clement. It's like, we need somebody there. Whether it's the draft or a free agent pickup or a trade, we need something there. And for most of this offseason, the Eagles didn't address it. And we're like, something needs to happen here.
And the thinking was they were eventually going to draft one in the first round, and you know how I feel about first-round running backs.
Right, since they hadn't addressed it, we thought, I guess they're going to save it for the draft. But then the Eagles pulled the trigger on Jordan Howard from the Bears. And
now we pulled a big one.
This changes the outlook of this offense immensely.
Yeah, but can we just talk about this deal for a second? The Eagles acquired Jordan Howard. But it's amazing that Howie Roseman was able to work it so that they only gave up a 2026 round pick. It could eventually become a fifth round pick, but that's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing.
For a running back, he's averaging 1,100 yards a season and 8 touchdowns a season.
For Jordan Howard, on the last year of his rookie contract, that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing.
It is a steal. It's not even a 2019 draft pick. It's a 2020 draft pick.
Yeah. Jordan Howard isn't a three-down running back, but he can handle some hits.
But look,
he'll get you those 4 yards.
Exactly. Look, LeGarrette Blount wasn't a four-down back or a three-down back. Neither was Jay Ajayi.
No.
None of those guys were.
No.
The Eagles run a running back by committee style run attack, okay? So we're not looking for a Le'Veon Bell. We're not looking for a LeSean McCoy, as much as I would love to have running backs like that. It's not really what the Eagles want to do. And right now you have Jordan Howard, you have Corey Clement, maybe Darren Sproles comes back, we don't know. Right, you're trying to develop one complete back between two or three different backs.
Yeah.
And that worked really well for the Eagles in their 2017 run. It keeps the legs fresh, it keeps them healthy, it sets defenses back on their heels because they got to be ready to be punched in the mouth, they got to be ready to be, have a quick guy turn the corner. Keeps the defense honest. There's a lot to like about a running back by committee type attack, I think, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just super biased.
So yeah, everything that you said is true. The advantages of having a three-down running back, though, is the defense really doesn't know what's coming if you have a guy that can run,
do it all,
go outside, and catch. Yes, that would be the advantage, is the defense would really have to keep an eye out.
Yeah, but then that guy gets
Saquon Barkley.
But then that guy gets tired.
Right.
Or injured, or he decides to sit out an entire year because he doesn't want to have 400 touches. Like, for every positive, there's also, and it's true for running back by committee, too. For every positive, there's a negative. I'm not making it out to be like, running back by committee equals automatically winning a Super Bowl. That's stupid.
Yes.
But I think there is a good amount of positive here. And that's not the end of it, because there's also rumors now that Cleveland Browns running back Duke Johnson wants out, and that the Eagles are one of the few teams apparently interested. So what do you make of this little wrinkle? Could he be the final piece to this running back by committee? Because from what I understand, he's a little lighter-footed, a little quicker.
Yeah, and he's more of a pass-catching running back.
Is he the replacement for losing Darren Sproles?
I don't know. I think that would really be more just cherry on top of the cake. I think
you're happy with the Jordan Howard.
I think if you have Howard, Clement, and Josh Adams, I think that's a pretty good running back core. Howard will be your guy on first down to run it up the gut and
But don't Josh Adams and Howard sort of overlap?
A little bit, but I would say Howard is definitely the lead back. He's your guy on first down.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
1,100 yards a season.
Right. So I he's got more clout.
Right.
So I think you're fine there. If you happen to get Duke Johnson, I think that's icing on the cake.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say personally, I don't think the Browns are going to do anything with him, because now it's kind of too late. Now you're in that awkward stage right before the draft.
Right.
You know, unless you're going to use him as a chip to move up or down in the draft at some point, that could be a thing.
Maybe.
But other than that, you kind of waited too long to try to trade him.
Yeah. It should have happened earlier in free agency. Yeah. But I will say this, mentioning the draft, the biggest thing for me with the Jordan Howard move is now we don't have to worry about a running back until the fourth or fifth round. We can save the first, second, and third rounds.
I would say definitely the first. Yeah, the first round pick does not have to be running back.
I still wouldn't go running back in the second.
But I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if
we
we don't have a third round pick. So
we have 2 seconds though. Are you sure we don't have a third?
Yeah, we don't have a third because we traded that away for Golden Tate.
Yes.
Yes. memory.
Yes, memory. Ha!
Yes. Yes.
Not fully senile yet.
Yes. Ha!
But what about the depth concerns on the defensive and offensive lines? Because Brandon Brooks might not start. Jason Peters, big question mark. Everybody else is getting older and older.
Yeah. Out of those three picks, two of them
have to be line. You have to go offensive or defensive line in those two out of those three.
Yeah.
So if they go running back,
I don't think they'll go. I don't think they'll go running back in the first. That's out. That's
even
off the table.
Even the second, I think, is
second
a stretch.
Is probably off too.
It's got to be the fourth or fifth.
Fourth. Yeah.
And that's better. That is easier to stomach than saying running back in the first round. I'm not totally opposed to it. But you see really good running back talent in the mid and late rounds too.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to stretch. Don't stretch for a running back. I'm talking directly to Howie Roseman right now, in case you couldn't. Don't stretch for a running back in the first.
All right. Well, it's looking good for the Eagles. Also, apparently, Vegas thinks it looks good for the Eagles as well, because
that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, right. There's a reason why they make money out in Vegas.
It's true.
According to their first wave of pre-draft predictions, they have the Eagles finishing first place in the NFC East.
I like that.
Then the Cowboys in second. And
I don't like that.
The Giants, which I'm a little surprised at. They're doubting the Redskins, still coming up last.
I mean, if there's a team to doubt, it has to be the Redskins. At least the Giants are like, well, we have a half, you know, alive Eli Mannings. The Redskins are like, we have blank.
Casey Keenum.
That's right, Casey Keenum.
Yeah. Keenum, Adrian Peterson.
Now you got me thinking.
Right. Would you rather take Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley or Casey Keenum and Adrian Peterson?
I mean, all right,
Adrian Peterson had a good year last year.
On paper, 11 out of 10 times Eli Manning and Saquon Barkley. However, with the way that team is coming together without Odell Beckham, That offensive line that was supposed to be good and wasn't, the fact that they're shipping away all of these defensive players that were supposed to be big acquisitions the past few years, I'm not liking the Giants. Even though on paper, Eli and Saquon is much better than Case Keenum and Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
So I think I got to go Case Keenum and Adrian Peterson here. Right. Even though it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It doesn't make sense.
Welcome to 2019.
Right.
Nothing makes sense anymore. Yes. This is the world we live in. Speaking of things that don't make sense, that's a good transition into everything that happened in March Madness.
No, I'm gonna f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
That's a yes.
Yes, March Madness.
Yeah, it gets everybody riled up. So what are the big headlines in March Madness? What's going on? Had our boy, what was his name, Gary or Greg Nigel? He had the last perfect bracket.
Yeah.
What happened?
He's
a millionaire now, right?
No, his bracket's destroyed. Everyone's bracket is now destroyed after the second week of March Madness. This, you know, it was funny. The first week was relatively safe. There weren't too many upsets. But this was the weekend. Everything went to hell. Yep.
But I mean, that's what people want, right?
Yes.
People, you want it to go to hell because that's what makes it fun.
Unless you're in the lead in your office pool. If you were, I'm sorry, because you probably lost.
It sounds like you're dealing with something over there, Rich.
No, I was actually not doing too good anyway. So.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm officially out. I was like kind of limping in the second week. The second week just officially just put me down.
Oh.
Just the slug right to the back of the head. Bam. So here's why. Here's the three big upsets that happened in March Madness this past weekend. Number 5, Auburn continued a historic run, defeating two really big basketball schools here. Number 1 seed North Carolina and number 2 seed Kentucky. I mean, this isn't...
And you don't know anything about NCAA basketball, but you know those teams.
Right.
These you know, like, are... Even I have heard of them.
Right. These are established schools in the basketball world. And Auburn just took them both down. Bam, bam. To make it to the Final Four.
That's really impressive, too, to take down a 1 and a 2.
Yeah. So they're anybody that was doubting them, they look like a fool, including me. So they continued a great run. Then probably the biggest shocker, Duke loses a close finale to Michigan State. Duke was picked in about 48% of online brackets to win the national championship. So, bam!
Wow!
All 48%. Bye bye. There you go.
Ooh,
just like
rough.
That.
Did you have them as winning? It's nope. Okay, Rich. You can be honest. No?
No comment. Yes. So there you go. And then another big upset. But unfortunately, if you're a Gonzaga fan, this is kind of the same old story. Texas Tech, a number 3 seed, upset Gonzaga to move on to the Final Four. And... man, I hate to say it, but Gonzaga, they've never won a March Madness title, and it's games like these. They just collapse.
I mean, are they the type of school that should be winning titles? Because they're always in it. You can say that about lots of schools, probably.
They're always in it. They always have like a relatively high seed. They always have, most years, they have like a 1, a 3, or a 5.
So what you're saying is they're like... they should be expected to win at some point during their
last
existence.
Year they were in the title game and they lost.
Okay.
So, I mean, they have a history of going deep, but they just, they never go all the way. It really makes something like Villanova, when you think about it, more impressive.
Right.
You know, because
Villanova's won a few times.
Right. Villanova's won two titles in the last 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And you just think maybe if one of those games went a different direction, you wouldn't have either of those titles.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's the case for Gonzaga. They always seem to have a high seed, and they always seem to have a really good season, but they never quite put it together.
They're the anti-Villanova.
They're
trying to make sense of the chaos.
They're like the Bills.
The Bills.
Yeah, they made
The 90s Bills.
They made it to 4 Super Bowls, but they never could, you know, punch it in.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, so
bad for Gonzaga.
Yeah, sorry.
I like their team name too, Gonzaga. It's cool. Their school name, rather.
It's the hard Z. Everybody loves saying Gonzaga.
Yeah.
The Zags. It's
fun.
It's got a fun
sound.
It's
UNC. What's that? Nothing. Boring. Stupid.
North Carolina.
Kentucky. That's just a state. Get out of here, Kentucky. Give me something original. I'm just picking on teams now.
I guess Mike's never going
stupid
to Kentucky.
Stupid Kentucky, no. What's there in Kentucky? Nothing.
My old Kentucky home.
Anyway.
I
don't know why either.
My old Kentucky home.
If you guys could think of something more notable from Kentucky, other than the basketball team and whatever that was, tweet at us. Hashtag Kentucky things.
Yes.
Just Kentucky things.
So, with all of the upsets now digested and we're all settling into this new reality, here is the Final Four. It will be number 2, Michigan State, versus number 3, Texas Tech, and number 1, Virginia, the only one seed left, who I thought this was funny. I thought they would go deep because they had an early exit last year. They were the one that lost to the 16 seed last year.
Oh, that's right.
So I figured this year they were going to be on like a march to redemption, that they weren't going to let anything stop them. And
so they're going to beat Auburn?
Well, that's the other matchup. Number 1, Virginia versus number 5, Auburn, in the other matchup. So number 1, number 2, number 3, number 5 seed.
I'm really pissed off right now that a 4 seed didn't make it.
Because you wanted to be 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yes! Yes!
That's the way it goes.
Do you not agree?
I
mean, come on. If you have a chance to have 1, 2, 3, 4 seed, you got to take it. Come on, NCAA.
Well, they can't force it. It's how the game...
Can't they, though?
No. This is March Madness, damn it!
It's madness!
Yes!
That's a yes.
But in all seriousness, Final Four shaping up to be an interesting set of games.
Yeah, so get ready for Saturday night, as those 4 teams will be whittled down to 2, and then the championship game is Monday night.
Oh, boy.
It will be definitely interesting to watch and see who eventually comes away with the March Madness crown and the title of the best team in college basketball. And then we will get to golf!
Yes!
It's the best time of the year!
Sure.
Yes!
Oh, God.
I love this time of the year, so I'm happy about it.
I'm happy you're happy.
March Madness, the Masters, and then the draft. Great, great schedule coming up.
At least the draft is good.
Yes. Well, it's all good.
Well.
Anyway, that'll wrap up the sports sampler, but we still got 2 more portions coming up. We got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hi, I'm game show host Todd Newton from Whammy, Family Game Night, Hollywood Showdown, and more. And I don't know if you've heard about the 24-hour game show marathon. It's happening June 8th out of the great city of Philadelphia. And this is where 4 super fans come together to recreate 24 of their favorite game shows. It's really cool. But they're not just doing it to have a good time. They're doing it to raise some money for a great cause, Child's Play. Really helps out children and families that could use a little assistance. If you'd like to donate, please go to GameShowMarathon.com. GameShowMarathon.com, and it is there where you can watch all of the festivities again on June 8th from Philadelphia. We appreciate your support, and long live game shows, baby. Game Show Marathon.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and moving right along. We got the entertainment entree coming up, where we've got a quick video game topic to hit. But there's also a sound clip that I need to play, and we're going to have to dissect it.
Oh.
Because kind of cringeworthy. I'm just going to preface it with that.
Okay. So, I'm super intrigued now.
Yes. So without further ado, let's officially launch into the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
So this clip comes from David Lee Roth. This is at the Ultra Music Festival, where a DJ named Armin van Buuren, I think that's his name.
Is he related to Martin van Buuren?
Right, I don't know, maybe. So he's the DJ, and David Lee Roth is supposed to, cue Armin van Buuren to start his set at DJing.
Right.
But I don't think David Lee Roth understands that when the DJ is doing a remix of your song, you don't have to be there. Your vocals are already on the remix track.
Oh, no.
So here's what happens as David Lee Roth apparently just doesn't get the hint here.
Here we go!
I get up, and nothing gets me down.
Are you ready for getting down?
Seen the toughest around. And I know.
Do you want to know?
Baby, just how you feel.
Show them how you feel.
You got to roll with the punches and get to what's real.
Are you ready for what's real?
Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine.
And my back's there, baby.
I ain't the worst that you've seen.
Are you ready for a little boom in the room?
Can't you see what I mean? Jump.
Yeah, you're supposed to go off the stage at that point. You're not needed. It's all
that was so bad.
It's all electronic now. You're good. You can leave the stage.
Rich, I'm actually in pain from listening to that. Like, I mean, obviously we're not on video, but I had to physically close my eyes and look away. It was, and I can't even see it. I'm just physically embarrassed for him.
Yeah.
Just listening to it. He's doing a call and response with himself.
Right.
It's so awkward. Yeah, my back's here.
Like, go what? Me.
Oh, man, that was rough. That was real rough.
It's interesting. I guess nobody told him, like, you
they
can
didn't,
leave.
They didn't prep that. They didn't, like, hey, you're going to come off the stage. You're going to come back on the stage. Nothing.
Right.
No pre-production.
You don't have to stay there.
No dress rehearsal. No run-through. Just...
David, yeah, it's all electronic. You don't have to just be there anymore.
Or do you think he was just being stubborn?
Let me see your hands!
Let me see your hands! He's also kind of a little, like, slobbering a little bit there.
Let me see your hands! Are you ready to begin? Are you ready to begin? Hands up! Yeah, see, hands up now, see?
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do now? See, hands up. Everybody in the audience, hands up. See?
This is so bad. This reminds me of when I went to Italy. There was, this is like totally random. There was this ride across the street from the hotel we were staying in that would play two songs on loop over and over again, over and over and over. It was Shakira's Hips Don't Lie and the Black Eyed Peas' Let's Get It Started. And there was a guy operating the ride who periodically throughout the songs, as they were blasting out loud, would stop the music and just go, hey, and then resume the music for 4 hours straight, those two songs over and over. That's what that reminds me of. Somebody who is totally unnecessary. Somebody who is awkwardly trying to interject themselves into something that doesn't need it. And somebody who's just totally tone deaf to what sounds good in terms of making a quality presentation. Yeah. And it's so super awkward. It was awkward for that crappy little single ride in that Italian pier. It's crappy during a major musical production.
It was probably in the same area because this is the Ultra Music Festival.
Oh, my God.
Probably Europe. I don't know. Who, I don't know.
We just assume it's Europe.
It's this crazy electronic music, so I don't know. But yeah, it's...
And that has to be European.
That's what I'm going with.
It's crazy European music.
Yeah, this crazy electronic European music. I don't know. And I never heard of this guy, Armin van Buuren, before.
I've never heard of him. Armin van Buuren.
Yeah. But there's one more clip I have to play. This is towards the end. David Lee Roth can't scream anymore. Here's the clip.
Oh, no. Oh, no. He needs to retire. Oh, my God.
I don't know what the hell was that.
Oh, man. That was really bad.
That has to be a new sound clip. I have no idea.
You absolutely have to isolate that and just make it. What?
It was like halfway between like an Indian chant and like pure just you're on drugs.
It sounds like somebody going through puberty and their voice is cracking, right?
Cracking, but it's still
it's weird.
Staying alive.
It's like awkwardly musical too. It's a turkey.
It's a turkey. You're
it's
right.
A turkey.
It's basically a turkey.
It's a prepubescent turkey
being slaughtered.
Being slaughtered. Yes, my God. David Lee Roth is a prepubescent turkey being slaughtered. You heard it here first, folks.
I hate to say it, but I think that might be the most
accurate. He needs to retire. He doesn't understand electronic music. I'm not saying I do, but I wouldn't be having a call and response with myself.
Yeah.
With a recording of myself. That's bizarre.
There you go. That's.
Oh, my God.
We're going to keep that in the sound archives. So, there you go. The latest from David Lee Roth. Dear God.
Is he still relevant?
I guess.
How is he still relevant? That's my biggest question.
He's
still going with Van Halen? Or, like, what's the deal here?
Armin van Buuren calls him up for his electronic shows.
He's not going to get any more of those gigs.
Yeah, not after this one. But there you go. That's our random sound clip of the week.
Good Lord.
David Lee Roth is a turkey.
Yes, he is.
All right, now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up this weekend with movies, TV, and video game news. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment. Yeah, here we go. Does that get you energized?
That gets me energized, I'll tell you what. Oh, my God. We're living the high life here. High Life is a new science fiction horror drama about a group of criminals tricked into believing they will be freed if they participate in a space mission to find an alternate energy source near a black hole. During their trip, the crew was sexually experimented on by the scientists on board. This got weird.
What? What is this?
Yeah.
What did you find, Mike?
High Life.
What the hell are you doing over there?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
It's actually not erotic. It actually seems pretty traumatizing.
Yeah.
One of the criminals has a daughter against his will through artificial insemination, and he must struggle to protect and learn to love her as they travel through deep space.
What the hell is this?
Hear me out. It's got some good reviews so far.
Where is this on?
High Life.
Where?
It's a movie.
Oh, this is a movie? Oh, my God.
Wait, what are you doing?
I thought this was like some weird like art experiment.
No, this is a movie coming out. I don't know how wide of a...
Is this on Pornhub?
That's where it originally debuted. No, it's coming to theaters. I don't know how wide of a release it's getting, but just keep an eye out for it. It's really weird. It's really bizarre. Watch the trailer. It's super creepy. It's got this weird, like, horror sci-fi, like, sexy vibe to it at times. That's what they describe it as. They're like, what is it? Sexually eerie or something like that? It's bizarre.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Woo! All right. Mike,
look, I don't make the movies. I just report on them. It's got an 81% on IMDb.
So interesting research over there, Mike.
Go check it out.
All right.
Next up in theaters, Shazam is another case of DC accidentally making a decent superhero movie. By shouting the word Shazam, a wisecracking 14-year-old foster kid can turn into an adult superhero, but he's still a kid at heart inside, so he sets out to have some fun by recklessly testing the limits of his abilities. That is, until he must master those powers quickly when he comes up against evil forces who would seek to destroy him. It's doing pretty good so far. It's got a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. So go check it out. That's okay. Shazam hitting theaters this week. In TV, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Part 2 comes out on Netflix this Friday. This next season picks up shortly after where Season 1 left off. Sabrina, still struggling to find balance in between her place in the mortal world and her new darker self. The first season was a smash success, but some reviewers are a bit more critical of the second season so far. I'm still really excited to see it. It's a, you know, traditional coming-of-age type story, but it's got some fantastical elements in there, some spooky witchcraft stuff. It's a Netflix show, so, you know, it's generally got a pretty good production value. Go check it out. That's The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina Part 2 this Friday on Netflix. And finally, just a short reminder, in video games, a new month equals new free games for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold subscribers. They're free, so if you're subscribing, you might as well go pick them up while you can. They just came out for the month of April. Go check that out. And that's what we're looking forward to this week, this month, this week in entertainment.
This week and month in entertainment. All right, Mike. Thank you for that.
I'm losing it. I don't even know.
Yeah, I think next week...
I don't know. Is it a month? Is it a week? I don't know.
And sooner or later, Mike's going to recommend a porno movie at this rate.
This week. We would need a daily one. This day. There's new ones coming out every day, Rich. Brand spanking new.
All right, and Mike will be right on top of that.
Reviewing all of them.
Yes.
Anyway, something else I'll be reviewing... I just finished The Walking Dead, the final season of the video game.
It's formerly
of Telltale, yeah. Now, you've been following the game, right, the first two seasons? You played the first two seasons? Or did you fall off at some point?
The first two seasons.
Okay, so you're familiar with the story of Clem, yes, and trying to survive the zombie apocalypse. This little girl who you meet in the first season, and she grows up through each of the subsequent seasons. This is the final season.
How many seasons were there?
This is the fourth.
What was
the third was a New Frontier.
I think I did play that one.
It was split half between Clem and half between another character. Did you play that one?
I think I did. It's, you know what the problem is?
They all run together.
And we'll get to it, is that it took so long for this to come out. Like, I'm segmented. I forget where I left off in the...
Yeah, well, if you're interested in playing the final season, definitely go back and make sure you've played A New Frontier, because it definitely builds on that a lot. But I really enjoyed the final season. Clem is one of the better video game characters that have come out in the past 10 years. It's very rare that you get a strong female protagonist, much less a strong young female protagonist. And that's what Clem was. In the first season, the developers had to do a lot of work to make you care about this character that you have to protect. And in subsequent seasons, you get to control Clem. And in the fourth season, you then become the protector of another young individual. And so you take on the role that the main character from the first season had in trying to teach Clem how to survive. You're now teaching another young individual how to survive in the zombie apocalypse. So there's this nice full circle coming back around to the start type feel. And there's a lot of callbacks to that first season, a lot of really strong emotional beats throughout the game. And I don't want to give away too much, obviously, because I hope that you'll go play it and see it for yourself. But I was really, really happy with the way that it wrapped everything up. I felt like it was a really fitting conclusion to Clem's story. It was really emotionally trying. It was exciting. It was dramatic. It was everything you want from a Telltale game. All your decisions, you really felt the weight of them in this season, because there's certain points where you make a decision that affects a character, and then that character makes decisions based on how you explained or taught things to them. So it's almost like a few steps removed from what you say. So you don't know how this character is going to interpret what you're teaching and then apply that in episodes later on in the season, which I thought was really interesting. Instead of like a direct correlation, it's almost like this evolving thing is making decisions on its own based on the cumulative effect of what you're doing.
So the when the status says, you know, this character will remember that, really has more weight to it.
It does. And they have a new status, too. It says your relationship with the character's name has changed. And you're like, oh, my God.
What did I do?
What did I do? No, because it's true. That meme online was started by these Telltale games. You know, such and such will remember that. But now there's a new one that says your relationship with such and such has changed. I'm like, oh, my God.
What'd you do?
I just did something huge. It completely shifted the relationship. And it's like a whole new level of trauma in making these decisions as if there wasn't enough weight. But yeah, Walking Dead final season was really, really good. But that's not really the main topic here. The main topic here is the backstory behind the game. And you alluded to how it took so long for it to come out because we've been following it. This is the culmination of a longer story about Telltale Games going out of business. Telltale, the developer of the Walking Dead games, going out of business halfway through completing this season. And it was really shocking. It was very sudden. And there were some questions as to whether they would be able to finish it or not. And it was delayed several months in the middle of they put out two episodes and there were still two episodes to go. And left all these gamers, myself included, in the dark about what happens to the season pass that I bought. Do I get to finish this game that I paid for? Do I get to see the conclusion of this story that I'm engaged and invested in? So it sort of brings up this topic that I've seen swirling around in games recently, this idea of this social contract between game makers and game players. Players get angry when promises aren't kept, whether that's continued online services, pre-release content that doesn't make the final cut, rocky video game launches, or disappearing digital content in the ownership of games. And so The Walking Dead is sort of a microcosm of this issue. Is there or should there be a certain expectation of developers, a promise, quote unquote, to be fulfilled to paying customers, right? Because The Walking Dead developer got shut down and it really threw into the spotlight, like, what is owed? What do we have a right to expect? Or do we not have any sort of expectations? Is it a gamble to buy this digital content that may or may not be there or may or may not persist into the future? What does that look like in this ever-evolving digital age where content can rapidly change or disappear? So for me, personally, when it happened, when I heard the news that Telltale was shutting down, I was pissed because I just spent $30 on a product that I would never get to finish. But more than that, I wanted the story to be finished. I felt like the developer had a responsibility to see things through to the end.
Well, see, there's a flip side here that we need to address is that back, you know, just 10 years, just even go 10 years.
Yeah.
This would never happen because the game had to come out
right
on a physical item, whether it be a cartridge or a disc.
Exactly.
And the game had to be done. So you knew that when you bought the video game, however the video game was, it was there in its entirety,
yeah.
Period.
And I love the fact that you brought up that point because that is the evolving point of contention. Because now people are
now
saying...
Now you're paying in advance.
Yes.
And now yes. It's... Now there needs to be some sort of binding contract, for less of a better word, for lack of a better word, you know, with these game developers, you know? Because they could collect $20 from everybody, promise the greatest game ever, and then be like, oh, we're shutting down. Bye.
And that is super appropriate that you bring that up because this is where they are moving the finishing line. We're, you know, I listen to a lot of different podcasts, and one of the big video game genres that people love to talk about now are live services games. Destiny, Fortnite, The Division 2, Anthem, where a game comes out and they're expected to be supported for years to come with new and updated content. And I hear a lot of other video game podcasters say, well, it's to be expected. It's going to have a rocky launch, but that they're going to add in more. So 6 months down the line, you know, it's going to be much better. So we have to expect that it's not going to be complete. Is it right that we should expect a game to be incomplete nowadays?
I don't think so. That's atrocious.
Isn't that kind of alarming?
Yeah. I mean, that would never happen. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old, but that would never happen 10 years ago.
And that's the flip side. Is there a shift that needs to happen where we need to change our expectations? Or do you think the impetus is on the developers?
No, the impetus, it should be on the video game developers. We're paying them the money.
I agree. No, I absolutely agree.
Now, if they do a Fortnite where the game itself is free.
Right. That's a little different.
That you can skate by because you're providing a free service.
If you pay $60, so look at Anthem.
Right.
Look at Anthem. So this is another recent story that ties into this. Anthem is an example of a bad game that is failing on a large scale. It is a live services game that is failing miserably because it was content incomplete at launch and their messaging has not been good and they've not been updating it where people expect it to be updated with these live services games. Now, it could change further down the line, but the product that was shipped, people are saying, was not worth $60 on its own. So now people are paying $60, sometimes $80 or $90 if they get the season pass or the deluxe or whatever it is. And now they have this half-finished product with the promise of it getting better, you know? And I don't think that's right.
No.
I don't think that big-time developers should spend 7 years developing a game and send out something that's content incomplete, where it's this future promise of what could be or what might be. You know, I don't think that's necessarily us being old.
If you put a price tag of $60 on one of these games and you ask for pre-orders beforehand, the fault's on you. That's not on the gamer. Uh-uh. That you asked for money. Now, if it's a free game like Fortnite or something, that's a little bit more reasonable. You're delaying the source of revenue from coming in at a later time. That you get a pass on. But to ask people to pay $60, $80, $100
right.
for... Yeah, I mean, these starts to get expensive.
These deluxe games, they are a big premium.
The pre-order content, so you can get the game day one, they have packages and stuff where it has to go up to $80 to $100,
$120. I spent $80 on the Red Dead Redemption 2. Special edition pre-order.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a cheap hobby.
No.
And now there's murmurs that video games are going to go up in price with the next generation. And I'm sitting back and I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to get the next BioWare game, we're both big BioWare fans. Exactly. And we're sitting here going, boy, game prices are going to go up to 70 and you got to get the season pass because it has all that DLC. So that's $90. Are you going to pay $90 if you hear the term live service and know what the implication of that means? Like, it's just, I can't personally stomach that. There are people out there that say that we do have to change our expectations, that we do have to assume that games are going to be living, breathing things that constantly change. But then I think they also need to change the delivery method and they need to change the pricing method too, because it's not right to pay that much up front for something that is half baked.
Right.
And that's the big complaint.
That's the issue. You shouldn't be paying $100 for a half-baked game on day one.
Absolutely. Now, there's the flip side to this where some developers do right by their fans, because The Walking Dead did have a happy outcome to this story where other developers stepped up and helped them finish it. And I think that we need to see more of that. Another example is No Man's Sky. Had a terrible launch. I mean, this game was just crushed by reviewers and gamers alike as being awful. They're now, I think it's like 2 years into providing continued free updates. They just announced they're going to make the whole game available in VR for free and add even more, a bigger online experience, again, for free this summer. And, you know, the topic surrounding No Man's Sky is just whenever they talk to the developers, like, why are you guys still doing this? It's because they want to do right by the fans. They want to do right by the gamers. And I think more developers need to have that mindset. I mean, obviously, they shouldn't have released a half-finished product, like we just said. But they need to be committed to making it right by doing what's right and, you know, not nickel and diming. Because they could have put out these updates and charged for them.
Yeah.
They really could.
They could have put out these other. You want VR? That's $10. You want? I mean, they're adding massive things. They're completely overhauling the game every 3 months.
Now, we had a conversation a couple podcasts ago when Stadia was announced for Google.
Yeah.
Do you think that if there was a subscription plan to new games, maybe that provides some more leeway to this?
I think that's the ticket. It all hinges on the streaming future, right?
Right.
Because if you pay for a subscription, I don't necessarily have a problem with an incomplete game at launch, if it's a subscription, because it's not the only thing your money's going to. You're paying for a service. You can play that game. You can play another game. You can play something else. You can hop around. You're not plunking down $60 at a time for what is supposed to be a complete package. You're saying, I'm paying $20 a month. Let's say $20 a month, $20, $25 a month, whatever. And, you know, you can play any game that comes out on the service. So if it's incomplete, that's fine. Because your money's not going to just that. You get to play it. You get to come back to it as long as your subscription is active. So in a way, I think that the subscription model, the streaming model, is sort of a solution to this problem. Like, they came up with the content before they had the appropriate delivery method, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, a live service game, it should be, like, those things have existed before. World of Warcraft.
Right.
Right?
Right.
MMORPGs. This was, like, the live service game before live service games.
Yeah, before it was a thing.
Right, and people would pay subscriptions. They would pay, you know, the upfront, but then they would pay a subscription to keep getting updated. And they've been updating it for 10, 20 years now, whatever it is, something stupidly long like that, you know? So I feel like they came out with this model before they figured out the best way to deliver it. And I think the streaming service would be the answer. But there's also problems with that, too. Because what does digital ownership look like?
Yeah, you don't actually own the games in the streaming service.
Right, you don't own the games. Well, people would say you don't even own the games now when you buy digitally. Because what happens when the servers go offline?
Yeah.
And is that another part of the social contract? Because here we have another story. Sony exclusive racing game Drive Club is going to be delisted. They're going to remove it from the store. You can't buy it anymore. And all of its online features are going away. Leaderboards, online racing, all that stuff. That's a big part of that game.
Yeah, of these racing games.
Should there be an expectation that they should have to keep these services available for a certain amount of time? Or is that just a risk inherent in online gaming? Like, is that just something we're just going to have to accept going forward?
Because
it's tricky because it is a business decision.
That reminds me of...
PT?
PT, that's another one. I was going to say it reminded me of... what was it? Mag? Remember when that came out?
Yeah, Massive. Mag. Yeah. Massive action game
or something. And it was like, you can play with 156 other human players.
And it was online only.
Right. That was the key. It was only online and it bombed.
Yeah.
Nobody was willing to do the risk for it.
I don't remember how long that stayed up and running, but what?
A couple months. It didn't last long.
Right. So if you pay $60 and a couple of months later it shuts down, did you get your money worth?
Yeah. No, you lost out. Like that's the pitfalls of this.
Should that be expected?
No, that's horrible. That's literally wasting your money, and also that ruins just good faith in your brand.
Yeah.
Because that was a Sony exclusive.
It was,
so
yeah.
If I'm a parent and I just plunk down $60 for that, and then my kid complains it's not working after 3 months, I'm going to be like, well, I'm not going to trust Sony ever again.
Yeah, and you know, you raise an interesting point there because, you know, I said it's a business decision to keep those servers running, but it's also a business decision to do right by your customers.
Yeah,
because that brand awareness, like, oh, look at what Sony did. My kid's game doesn't work after 3 months. Or look at what Sony did. I bought my kid this game that he didn't like, but 2 years later, they're still updating it, and he's playing it still. You know, in the case of, like, No Man's Sky or something, you know?
Yeah, it makes all the difference.
It does make a difference. It does make a huge difference. It's just an interesting conversation that has been happening online now recently with the way games are trending. It's only going to become a bigger and bigger issue as we move more and more towards digital, towards streaming. You know, what does game ownership look like? Do we have to just swallow the cost sometime of a failed online game? Like, what if Overwatch is online only? What happens when they decide, well, we're doing Overwatch 2 now, we're going to shut down the servers? your game just becomes inoperable. Is that right? Also, it begs the question, like, I don't know, maybe we are just old, because I still have hear me out. This is gonna be, I still have some of my old Sega Genesis games. You know?
I have my old Nintendo 64.
It's like a relic. It's something you can go, it's like books on a bookshelf. It tells a story, right?
Yes.
That story disappears when it goes digital. You know?
The actual physical copy, yeah.
Yeah, and it's sad to think that this thing that you had so much fun with could just evaporate in the blink of an eye if Sony goes under, or if Microsoft decides we're not going to do consoles anymore. It's not profitable. It just disappears. It evaporates. I mean, what then does that community look like? Because gaming is an art, and the other arts have physical reminders, but gaming won't. Isn't that kind of bizarre? Like, what do the companies do, or do they do nothing? Is it up to fans then to immortalize it in emulators and ROMs? I mean, is there a solution, or is it just?
I think that's what's going to have to happen, because, you know, that's what most people online will do. You know, especially the internet community, they'll find a way to emulate it and try and pull it off on the internet.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. I can't believe this is the future that we're trending towards. You know, I like being able, you know,
to hold something.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I know I don't boot up my Nintendo 64 every day. But
you're definitely never getting rid of Mario 64.
Right, until my console actually breaks and I have to, you know, replace it or something.
Or GoldenEye. Even if you don't play it, like, I would never get rid of Sonic 2.
Yeah.
Or Mortal Kombat. Like, those games define my childhood.
Right.
You know? And same thing for you and your N64 and, you know, people with their Ataris or whatever console it is. If you grew up with a PlayStation 1, it's the PlayStation 1. You know? And, I don't know, I just feel like the generation coming up is missing something because of it. And I fear that I'm sounding like a really old man. So no, maybe it is just a generational thing. Maybe because young kids coming up with this notion, they're like, well, Gramps, you know, I paid $60 and I got 3 months of awesome gameplay. I got, you know, however many hours out of it. So I'm fine with that. The contract, quote unquote, has been completed. Now, us in our generation, right, we say the contract has been completed.
No. Yeah.
We don't have our game anymore. There's nothing on the bookshelf. I can't go back and continue to play it. It didn't live up to its full potential.
I would also like to stress that if this is the way things are going, I would stress to go through my strategy of playing for the story.
Yeah.
I really, to be honest with you, when it comes to video games nowadays, I really only play the video games that have a great first player story.
Absolutely.
Period. I don't mess with the online stuff. I don't have time for it. I don't have time to chat and do the.
I don't have time to chat.
I don't know.
No,
to
I
me,
completely
it's not,
agree.
It's
I completely
not,
agree.
You know, the closest I ever got was Grand Theft Auto Online. I thought that was pretty cool that you could all, you know, get in a car and do a bank heist or something like that. But other than that, I never really had an enjoyable experience online.
Yeah.
So, for me, I've just always stuck with stories, and if the story's not good, then I'm not buying it. So,
yeah, the only online game that I ever played was Overwatch, and I wouldn't be heartbroken if it disappeared, because like you, I'm more focused on the storytelling aspect.
Yeah,
but
give me a Red Dead Redemption or a BioShock any day of the year.
Yes, and that's
over Overwatch and Minecraft and
Minecraft is fun though.
And
you would enjoy Minecraft.
What's the
which one? Fortnite.
Fortnite. Thank you.
Come on, old man, Rich. You're not 30 yet.
Let me go watch my golf.
Let me go watch my golf.
I'm officially old.
I'm gonna drink your hot brandy toddy and go watch your golf and sit in your rocking chair with your blanket. That sounds nice. I'm gonna do that.
You watch golf with me?
No, sit in a rocking chair.
Yeah, watch golf. You already said it. You're contractually obligated
now. I have signed the social contract with the Rich.
It's already been established.
Do I get a pre-order of $60 paid to me, though? That's the real question.
It's in the disclaimer.
It's in the disclaimer.
We'll have to come up with that. But there you go. That's the entertainment entree for this week. The future of video games. It is going to be a different future. And, you know, maybe we'll react differently to it compared to the kids coming up. So.
Still excited for it.
Yeah.
But just something to think about.
Right. So there you go. The entertainment entree. But We still have one part of the show still to come, the non-fortune cookie odd news. And I've got some interesting stories that you need to hear that actually happened. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle, always crunchy.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. And we're going to move into the third and final portion of our show where I have real news that you won't believe is true, but it absolutely 100% is. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. And I'm ready to get started. Where are we heading to first on this epic odd news journey?
All right, this first one, we're going to New Jersey.
All right, all the way to Joy-Z.
Yeah, right? Just go over the bridge for this story. And I have mixed feelings about this story, so...
Uh-oh.
We're going to...
You're feeling conflicted?
We're going to get into this. Two northern New Jersey high school freshman boys successfully crashed their high school's Wi-Fi network to get out of taking their midterm exams, according to authorities.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of impressive. It's really stupid, but kind of impressive.
I'm kind of impressed a little bit.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm torn as well because on the one hand, maybe just study a tiny bit harder so you don't have to like completely take down the school network just to avoid a test. But also, if you want to avoid a test, that is definitely a really cool way to do it.
Yes. The two Secaucus High School freshmen are charged with computer criminal activity and conspiracy.
I don't know if that's bad, but it sounds bad.
It sounds bad. There's a lot of words in
there's
there.
There's a lot of words.
Authorities.
Words that they don't know because they didn't study.
That's right. Authorities say that the 14-year-olds used an app and a computer program that compromised the high school's internet network.
Oh.
And then it was able to... take massive requests to bring the server down.
So wait, let me get this right. All they did was download an app?
Well, it was an app, a computer program, and then load it.
But what I'm saying is they didn't actually do anything. They weren't, like, hacking. All they did was download a program and an app.
Well, no, they had to still get into the network, though.
I mean, did they? Or did they just they just DDoS'd it, didn't they? They just bombarded it with requests, and it couldn't handle it, and it crashed. They didn't get into anything. Right? Am I understanding that right?
Are you? I don't know. I don't know computer hacking.
Neither do I. But it's a... What is it?
Do you think it's a... DDoS attack?
I think so. What is it? Denial of service attack.
Right.
Yeah, because they bombarded the network with too many requests, and it couldn't handle it. That's what wannabe hackers do, is they have programs that just constantly bombard it with... You know, that's like the quote-unquote Reddit hug of death.
Oh. When,
yeah. So they're not really doing anything.
Oh, boo.
See, I thought...
All right, no. Now I don't like them.
I thought they were going in, like, Mission Impossible style and, like, hacking.
Right.
We're in the mainframe. What's a mainframe? Nobody knows. It's not even a real thing.
Yes, it is.
But they're in the mainframe.
We're in the mainframe.
And they're extrapolating.
And we're hanging on a bungee cord.
And for some reason, yes. From the high school ceiling.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought they were doing something like interesting. All they did was like start an app. All they did was tap an app on their phone. I don't know.
Are you serious?
It seems lackluster to me. Is all I'm saying. When you first described it, I was like, "Oh, that sounds awesome," but nah, it's not.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was like Mission Impossible or something.
Yeah.
Oh.
I could be mistaken, but from what you described, it sounds like a. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking like that, like hanging from the ceiling, the bungee cord.
Right, exactly.
In a mainframe.
They're in the server room, they're sneaking around, they get out the little USB dongle, they put it in, and then he pulls out his rolled up keyboard, and he's like, "All right, I'm breaking through the firewall.
What's the password?"
"Oh, damn, I don't know. It's got 26-bit encryption. I don't even know that's real."
"Get it in."
"No, it's got 27-bit.
It's decoding."
"Oh my God. We're parsing the sector.
And
we're in the mainframe."
And then there's like the little status bar, and then it's like coming dangerously close to like when the, like the guard's coming back.
Yeah.
"This is high school. I don't know why there's a guard."
There's like an old 89-year-old guard. "Hey, who's in there? What are you doing?
You're doing a damn Sasquatch."
"Damn Sasquatch? Damn Sasquatch in the computer room again." "Back in my day, they didn't let Sasquatch on the school grounds. I don't know.
We just whacked it with a stick."
"I'm going to whack you with a stick." This is a weird,
pull
high school.
"Pull him up, pull him up."
Where's the other guy? Is he in the ceiling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't you ever see Mission Impossible? Yeah.
Yeah, no.
The one guy's in the vent.
Do they have vents in schools like that? Like,
I would hope so for ventilation and stuff.
Nah, high schoolers don't need to breathe.
Well, apparently they don't need to study either.
Not anymore.
The charges stem from an investigation that began after school officials notified police that something was wrong with their internet service. The superintendent said that the school's Wi-Fi network was consistently down for a period of time and that they couldn't find the cause of it.
But wait, why would this prevent them from taking... Was the test online? Like a computer test?
Well, according to the superintendent, Jennifer Montesano, she says much of the school's curriculum is internet-based and that the lack of the Wi-Fi connection disrupted the students' daily assignments.
Oh.
I'm going to go with this is complete BS. This is atrocious in
the
school system.
Is online?
You?
That's true, though. That's true, though. I see it. I see it, man. With my younger cousins.
You? No. You get your... You go get whatever you are going to do on the internet or whatever. You put it down on paper. You go to the office. You make 30 copies of it. And you hand it out to your students.
That's right. You're not a real teacher unless you're killing trees.
It's not killing trees. It's doing the damn homework or whatever. Don't give me this. We don't have the internet. We can't do homework BS.
I mean, that's...
This is some... I don't like it. I don't like this one bit.
That's the way it's going.
I think the teachers are to blame here.
Wow. Putting on the teachers.
Yes. Are you kidding me? You tell me you can't write this down onto a piece of paper and copy it and then hand it out to the students?
I mean, I guess they could, but if everything's on the computer and they don't foresee this happening, how do they get back to it if it's online? A lot of schools use Google Docs for everything.
Oh, perfect. Download Google Drive on your cell phone. Yeah, I think there's ways around
but
this.
Then how do they print it out at the school?
Write it down. I know.
Write it down. What, handwrite it?
Yes, I know.
What, the entire test?
What, 30 questions or something? I don't know. Whatever
tests are big.
How long are tests?
You've taken tests before.
I don't know. I thought it was like essay questions. like just
no.
Like,
what if it's like multiple choices and stuff like that? That's a lot of writing.
I don't know. If it's like 30, do it.
If it's 30, do it. Yeah, but how much time does it take to write it? That's class time that students don't have to take the test. There's a lot of things that go into it.
I don't know.
I used to be a teacher.
I don't like this.
I know.
I don't like that. This actually stopped the midterms. That seems to be a huge hole in this law.
I feel like that's why Scantron is the way to go. You know?
Yeah. The good old fashioned Scantron.
Good old fashioned Scantron.
Bring
yeah.
back the number two pencils. Yeah.
So I'm curious as to like is this an online program they use to take the test? Like what are kids doing, or are they submitting essay questions on like a system? You know what I mean? Because that's what I used to have my students do. I used to have them submit their papers online.
But that's a term paper.
That's all I did. I didn't.
This
have
is a
tests.
Midterm exam in high school.
I don't know. What do kids test these days? I always think you should give students writing assignments.
Yeah. So then write like five. How about this? I know you might not like this, but do it on the fly. Make like five questions based on the chapter. Put it up on the board. And then tell your kids, write your answers on loose leaf paper. Do kids even have loose leaf paper? Do they know what paper is?
Do kids know how to write?
Do kids know how to write? Yeah.
Do I know how to write? Because I haven't written anything in, like, actual handwrite. If I have to write more than a sentence, I'm like, oh, my hand is cramping. No, you're right. Remember, we used to have a teacher in high school. I don't want to name drop. But he used to read out quiz questions out loud.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Remember that? You were in that. Yes. You had him, yeah.
There you go.
And it was always very frantic because it's like you got to pay attention
to the question.
You got to pay attention to the question. You got to write it down. You got to keep everything organized. There was like an extra element to it.
So there you go.
It was the best history class ever.
You're telling me that these kids can't do that?
They could. Yeah, but I don't know what the content of the midterm is, though. If it's like a science or a math, like that's really hard to convey verbally or really hard to write down all those math and science questions. It's easier if it's English and you're like, all right, we're just going to switch to essay format, you know?
The point is, I don't think it should have been this crippling.
It should not have been. There should have been contingency plans. There should have been offline or at least, you know, the ability to print whatever there was out so they could fill it out by hand.
Yeah.
You know? But also, let's back up a second. They could have just done it the next day. Why are we getting all hot and bothered about this?
I guess until these freshmen were caught, they kept doing it that whole time period.
Also, really, kids, you're a freshman and you're already royally screwing up high school.
What, the kids acting at freshman year doing this?
Like, you didn't even try. Like, you got halfway through your first year, like, I can't do basic education.
Yeah.
I'm going to commit a felony so I don't have to. Like, you know, if they put that type of effort in this. Now, this is the teacher coming out. If you just put that type of effort into studying, you wouldn't need to crash the school network.
Yes.
You know?
You would have been fine.
So I put it back on the students. They're 14 years old. And they're like, I can't.
They're wrong. Oh, yeah. They're wrong, too.
I'm so bad at this thing that I have to crash the entire network to avoid it.
Yes.
Why don't you just call in sick? Why are you going to crash the network?
Well, because when they. Eventually, you got to go back in and you got to take the midterm.
Call out sick, study an extra day.
But if you keep attacking the server every day, I guess it was working for a little bit of time.
I guess,
which is why it's on the teachers.
I say the blame is to be shared by everybody. It shouldn't be on the teacher to think I should. You know, I mean, if the whole school curriculum is online, there's nothing they can do about it.
I don't know.
I guess you shouldn't be so dependent on it.
Right. This is getting into crippling territory. They couldn't do the test? Really? There's paper. I'm sorry. I can't believe that there's no way to transfer this on paper.
I'll say this. There might be online like grade tracking stuff. You know, it might automatically be submitted to grade books. And, you know, there might be other back-end systems at play there. Like Blackboard. Everybody loves Blackboard.
No.
It's a software.
I hate it. I hate all this.
You don't even know it, Rich. It's amazing.
Yes, I actually do know Blackboard. I just submit stuff to Blackboard.
Blackboard was great.
I didn't really like it.
I loved using it as a teacher.
I don't like it. I'm an old man. I want to watch my golf.
Well, that's obvious.
Let me
be. This whole podcast, the theme is Rich is old.
Let me be.
You didn't even turn 30 yet.
I'm speeding right there.
You're racing to the grave over there.
I'm going full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead.
I don't like the way this
Everybody
generation...
Everybody get out of my way. I'm coming through with my walker.
I don't like the way this generation's going.
Oh, my God. That's wild.
I still think the teachers are at fault.
They're all at fault.
All right. Let's go to our next story. Relatively local story. This is outside Harrisburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's PA. Right outside the capital, PA. Yeah,
so it's in driving distance.
Yeah.
Unhappy with the way that his groceries were being packed, a Pennsylvania man decided to choke the cashier.
That's a little excessive.
Whom the assailant accused of being absolutely careless with his bag of snack chips.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Really?
Yes.
Chips. What type of chips?
How dare you try and crush my chips?
Do we have the type of chips or how much they cost? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, on a scale of how severe this is. Is this, like, generic store brand or is this something really good like Cheetos or...
I don't know, but they don't mess with the snack chips. 55-year-old Bradley Bauer is scheduled for arraignment on a criminal complaint charging him with simple assault in connection with the incident at a Giant near his home in New Cumberland. That's right outside Harrisburg. I know where that is. According to...
You're going to go visit him in the county
jail.
Yeah,
right, I could. It's within driving distance. According to police, Bauer was shopping at the Giant supermarket. When they reached the checkout line, Giant employee Neil Lurch began bagging the purchases. But Bauer was not happy with the way Lurch did his job, and he asked the cashier to not throw his groceries around the bag. Bauer would later tell police that he purchased several bags of chips and he didn't want to get them all smashed up.
Okay.
Bauer added that the cashier put the bags of chips into the bag first, then put canned goods on top of it. How dare you?
Well, okay. I sort of get it now.
How dare you?
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
I sort of get that.
Bauer also says that he was smashing the chips.
I mean, how violently was this guy bagging?
He's throwing the cans in the bag. Ah!
He was, like, shooting it from, like, 20 feet away, firing it into the bag.
How dare you?
I do agree about the can thing, though. You can't put canned goods on top of fragile things.
Right, but...
You know, that's a no-no. That's a no-no.
But, unfortunately, this is when things got more serious.
Yeah, it's not choke-out worthy.
Yeah. Lurch told Bauer, "Do you have a problem with me?" Bauer said, "Yeah, I have a problem with you." That's when Bauer then decided to wrap his hand around Lurch's throat and push him against the cash register.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Wait, I may have missed this. At any point in this bagging process, did he say, "Hey, don't put the cans on top of the chips"? Or did he just silently stew the entire time?
Well, he said, "Don't throw the groceries around."
Did he say no? But did he say that to the bagger?
Yeah,
he said those exact words.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, if he told the bagger, the bagger's like, "Nah, screw you," and just continues to chuck cans on top.
How dare you?
It's kind of messed up.
So during questioning, Bauer reportedly admitted that he grabbed Lurch around the throat. And he did state that when he did that, he realized he was in the wrong.
Well, all right. So he's repentant.
The 6-foot Bauer told officers that he was having a bad day and that this issue with the bag of chips just sent him over the edge.
Well, at least he acknowledges that he did something wrong. Mostly in these stories, people are like, "I don't understand why, you know, stealing something nude is bad." But this guy knew immediately that it was wrong.
Yeah.
And so you got to give him some credit there.
Lurch was taken to the hospital just in case because there was bruising around his neck. So it was a pretty tight hold he had on him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
This wasn't just like a, you know, like a light choke or something.
This wasn't just like a shove. This was, "I'm about to choke
this
person out.
I'm going to choke a bitch."
Yeah.
"How dare you? This is my chips. Help. I'm just furious."
Several bags of chips. Get it right.
"I need it for my party."
That's right.
"I'm going to watch the Masters."
Watch the Masters with my several bags of chips and canned goods.
And canned goods, damn it.
So here's my mom. She's shaking her head in disapproval. She knows. She knows the pain.
Yeah. Do you need to voice your opinion here?
She got a mouthful of Toblerone, Rich. Come on. If you're going to talk, you got to talk into the mic.
When bagging groceries, I'm going to tell you what the secret is, because I get very annoyed too when my groceries get bagged.
Yeah, but have you ever choked a person out?
No, I did not choke the person out, but I do get annoyed because I put them on the conveyor belt the way I want them to go in my bags, because I separate them according to type of product.
Right.
And I do not like when they put things and mix them up together. I'm sorry. That's why I like to bag my own groceries. Because I put all detergents and washes and all with one bag. I put my breads all in one bag. Nothing gets mixed up that doesn't belong where it's supposed to be.
So you completely agree with the guy saying that he didn't like the cans being on top of the chips.
That's right. I always put my chips and my breads in separate bags because I don't want anything crushed. I hate my bread when it's squashed. And I don't want my cleaning products with the food I eat.
That's a fair point.
No, here it is. One day your father went to the grocery store. He came back. Listen to this.
Oh, no. And he's just to paint you a picture. My dad is standing by the counter just shaking his head like, why you gotta drag me into this?
They bagged the groceries. They put the chicken, the fried chicken that was hot.
Right.
And put it in where the detergent was. My chicken smelled like detergent.
Oh, that's not good.
That's why you bag your own groceries.
There you go. Okay. What an emphatic final statement. She just drops the mic and walks off. She's gone.
She dropped my mic.
That's why you bag your own groceries. And she just storms off.
There you go.
Mom, you can campaign on that slogan.
Yeah, you should be running for office. Mayor.
That's
Mandel.
Why you bag your own groceries.
There you go.
She said she goes to a line where there's no bagger. Wow. She's anti-bagger. That's baggist.
Is there such a thing, baggist?
I don't know. We're going to make it a thing. We're going to make it trending.
We're going to sue people if they're baggist.
That's right. Can't be baggist. Yeah. My mom and this guy choking people out. The two of them. It's a match made in heaven.
Yeah. Maybe it's a Pennsylvania thing because this is a Pennsylvania story.
That's true. Yeah.
We never had anything like this outside of Pennsylvania.
Do we have fans in other states? Can they tell us? Is this an issue where you get your groceries?
Yeah. Let us know. Grocery war. Hashtag grocery wars.
Somebody writes in like, I love it when my bread is smushed under a gallon of water.
Free breadsticks.
Free breadsticks. There you go. Look on the bright side, right?
Yes. Okay. let's move away. let's move away from grocery stores. And I've got two stories here from Ohio.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Okay.
Ohio.
Ohio.
Ohio wants to chip in. They saw Pennsylvania was on the map. They need to do stuff here.
They got jealous of their bigger brother.
All right. Well, we mentioned in the sports sampler that the Phillies are having a good start to the baseball season. But these fans that were next to the Cincinnati Reds ballpark also had a great start to the season because this couple was arrested after they had sex in public while riding inside a transparent gondola on a 150-foot observation wheel in downtown Cincinnati, according to court filings.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Police allege that 31-year-old Lauren Wilder and 30-year-old Michael Matheson engaged in an illicit tryst while on the SkyStar wheel, which is adjacent to the Ohio River and the Great American Ballpark, where the Cincinnati Reds just had their regular season opener.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, this is now a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, that maybe that's their thing, you know?
Yeah,
they're
right?
Like, hey, yeah.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Some people like that, exhibitionist, you know, the thought of, you know, a stadium full of people right there.
According to criminal complaints, Wilder and Matheson were both intoxicated when they engaged in sexual intercourse in the open in the transparent gondola. Wilder and Matheson were each charged with disorderly conduct and booked into the county jail. So I hope it was worth it.
I hope it was worth it.
Didn't even get to see the baseball game afterwards.
I know, right? You know, yeah.
You're down that part of the city. You want to get a baseball game in.
Right. Instead, all they saw was jail.
Yeah. Well, they saw each other and then jail.
They saw, yeah. Technically, yes, they saw each other.
And then jail.
They could have done the other way. They could have taken in the baseball game, then had their illicit tryst.
Or, like, leave in, like, the fifth inning. Do you really need
right. Baseball games are so long.
Yeah.
You know?
Leave, like, the fifth inning.
Right.
And then...
Or the seventh inning stretch.
Oh, the seventh inning stretch. There you go.
That's a different type of stretching. You know?
Yes.
Do some light calisthenics.
Yes. And, you know, banging.
Up, down, in, out, in, out. Yep. You know, it's good for the heart.
Right. There you go.
And gets the blood pumping. It'll it's like exercise.
It'll wake you up right before the ninth inning.
Right. It'll wake you up. You need something to liven up baseball every once in a while.
Yeah. All right. Next Ohio story here. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
We get to file this one under another weird case of wacky excuses.
Okay. I like wacky excuses.
An Ohio man denied ownership of the socks on his feet.
What?
After cops discovered that his socks had a small bag of cocaine in them, according to a police report.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
That's really bizarre because usually when you wear socks, you're also wearing some type of footwear. So that means that somebody or somehow this article of clothing got in between you and another article of clothing. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like it's not like, oh, this shirt accidentally fell from the sky and it went over me and right, you know, over my arms. And
but right as I was putting my foot into my sneaker,
the sock came out of nowhere
and just attacked my foot.
It just ate my foot, and I never noticed it as I continued to put it in the shoe. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well,
so what is the explanation?
The reason why is you're not thinking like this guy is.
Oh, of course.
20-year-old Damian Clark was driving when he was pulled over for failing to use a turn signal. During the 3 a.m. traffic stop, a cop spotted loose marijuana on the car's floorboard. When the officer then searched Clark, he found a bag of cocaine in his left sock. Upon the discovery, Clark declared, quote, "These aren't my socks. I was borrowing them from a friend."
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Oh, good for you.
Yes.
That's weird.
Hey, Mike, I need to borrow your socks.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we're good friends, but I don't know if we're at the lending socks stage.
Mike, I'm sorry. I didn't bring appropriate footwear.
You didn't bring appropriate. I forgot to wear socks today. Yeah, do you have a pair
of me? It's a weird story, but I need socks. Can you give me some?
Oh, my God. But, like... how do you not notice that there's something in your socks?
Yeah, wouldn't you feel the bag of cocaine?
So I don't know about you, but I'm very particular about clothes and tags and seams and stuff. And I can't stand socks that have big, thick seams. So if there was a bag in there, I'd be going crazy.
Yeah, you wouldn't be this guy.
Inside the shoe, too? Like, come on. How do you put on a sock and not notice that there's something in there? You're putting it, you know, you're putting the sock and you're like, oh, what's this? I feel something in here. I guess it's nothing.
Yep, it's part of the sock design.
Or is your foot just completely numb? And you're just walking around on
that would
feelingless
have been,
clubs.
That would have been a better excuse. Like, I burnt my foot in a weird accident.
I burnt my foot.
In a weird bacon accident.
In a weird bacon. What are you, Michael Scott from The Office?
Yes, all right. And
I got that reference.
Thank you. And I can't feel that part of my foot.
I mean, maybe, but then how is he driving if he can't feel his feet?
It was my left sock.
Yeah,
you drive with your right leg.
Smart.
Yeah, see, yeah. I got this.
There you go.
I'm smart.
Yeah, which also makes me think he was driving, so he's got something in his sock, and he's driving. So wouldn't that distract you? Wouldn't you feel that? I don't know. This is just, I mean, obviously, it was all made up. But I just would like criminals to put a little bit more effort into their excuses.
Well, unfortunately, this excuse didn't work. Officers arrested Clark, and then they searched the vehicle completely. That's when they found in his truck 59 Xanax bars and a bag of more cocaine.
There you go. But that was his friends as well.
All of it, yeah.
Right? All of it, yeah.
So... Clark then told the officer about the Xanax bars, oh, someone gave me those pills to hold at a party I was at, and I forgot about them.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, you know, that happens, right?
Yeah.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
So let's recap. He's got another person's socks. He's got another person's pills.
Yep.
Is anything his?
I guess the second bag of cocaine. He doesn't have an excuse for that one.
Okay. That's true. He's coming up with all these excuses, but the cop's like, what about the other bag of cocaine? He's like, oh, no, no, that one's mine.
Yeah, that one's mine. That was my personal stash.
And the cops are just like, what? Well, wait, maybe he's telling the truth then. Why would you lie about two things but not about the cocaine?
Well, either way, he's still going to be in trouble here. They also found a stolen iPhone and $761 in loose cash.
Wow.
So, yeah, he has a profitable business.
He was ready for anything.
Yeah.
He's got all the drugs. He's got some couple hundred dollars in cash.
Yep.
He's got somebody else's socks. He's ready for anything.
Yeah. Clark was charged with 3 felony narcotics counts and booked into the county jail. He was released from custody after posting a $15,000 bond. Wait a minute. That's something else, too.
What?
How do you have $15,000 laying around to use for bond?
Well, he had $700 in loose cash like, in his trunk.
That's almost like you shouldn't have paid the bond. Now I have to question, where do you have $15,000 in loose cash?
He's a drug dealer, Rich.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to take him at his word. I was trying to help his case.
So you're playing under the assumption that all these drugs really did belong to someone
else. I was trying to help him out, but now I can't. You're
giving him the benefit of the doubt, yeah, but no.
Now the towel has to be thrown in. I can't believe him now.
Yeah, when you drop $15,000 just out of the blue.
Yeah, to get out of jail. I don't know.
Come on. There's something else going on there, buddy.
Yeah. All right, let's get to our Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah, these two stories are crazy, and both about food.
Ooh.
I don't know why, food.
Food's good.
Yeah, but not when they go to waste. I don't like food going to waste.
Oh, it's those types of stories.
Yes. This first one, let's do... I don't know which one's weirder, to be honest with you. One's about egg rolls and one's about dumplings.
They're both Chinese food.
What do you want for odd news dinner?
What type of dumplings?
I guess just regular dumplings. I don't know, just as dumplings.
Let's do dumplings.
Dumplings, all right.
I like some dumplings.
After his 73-year-old mother refused to dress his mannequin.
Wait. What time? Time out.
Yes, this is...
What is happening right now?
This is an actual headline in 2019.
Oh, now you fucked up! You have fucked up now!
I was promised dumplings, and I got some weird-ass, let's play house-type BS up in here.
Yes. Let me read the complete sentence.
Okay, yeah, we only got through half this headline.
After his 73-year-old mother refused to dress his mannequin, a Florida man shoved... his own mother to the ground and threw stuffed dumplings in her mouth.
What?
According to police.
What?
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Yes, this is
an actual
headline.
This is so weird. So, okay, hold on, back up.
Yeah.
So the fact that he was just standing around with dumplings... meant that he could have conceivably dressed his own mannequin. This is bizarre. Yes. I don't even like talking about them dressing this. What are they dressing this mannequin for?
All right, well, you...
What is the purpose? Is it a sex doll?
You ponder it for a second.
It's a sex doll, isn't
it? Here's the story. Responding to a call about a domestic disturbance last night, cops found the victim, whose face was covered in soy sauce...
Oh, no!
...to be shaking with fear inside the home she shares... with her son, Mikkel Danker. What a name.
Danker?
Danker.
That's a bad name.
Yeah. The woman told cops she was in the home's backyard when her 40-year-old son asked her, please dress my mannequin.
What? Why? Why?
That's a yes.
Go dress your own damn mannequin, you freaky... What do you do? Why do you have a mannequin? I don't know. Maybe I'm just imagining all these like weird things. Maybe it's like completely innocent. Maybe he's a fashion designer.
No.
And no, not in Florida.
When the elderly woman declined, Dankner stood in the screen door blocking his mother's path back inside the home.
Well, how's she going to dress the mannequin if you don't let her in?
Yeah.
Dummy.
The victim then got angry and pushed the mannequin to the ground. Oh.
Whoa.
How dare
Whoa.
You? How dare
She had it coming.
Oh.
Can't be pushing Danker's mannequin.
The son left the doorway to console the mannequin.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So it is a weird thing.
Yeah, this is weird.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
It's basically Will Smith from I Am Legend with the mannequins.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super weird. It's so, so creepy.
So that's when a confrontation in the kitchen soon followed. Dankner then shoved his mother onto the floor, and then he grabbed small dumplings made for dinner and threw them into his mother's mouth.
I mean,
He's
feeding her?
He's throwing it like a fastball down the plate.
What? Yeah, but he's got her pinned to the ground.
Well, not pinned. He just shoved her.
Oh, and he's throwing it from what, like a standing position?
Yeah.
He's hurling them down at
her? Take that!
Okay.
I'm going to rain dumplings upon you, bitch!
I'm going to rain dumplings upon you. Some type of dumpling supervillain.
Yeah. I don't really...
I'm still taken aback by the mannequin. Yeah. I just can't get over that.
This all started over our mannequin.
The mannequin, so it sounds like the mannequin was outside and the dude was like, dress my mannequin.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he dress it? Why does the mom have to dress it? That's really bizarre. It's freaky. It's freaky, Rich.
It needed a woman's touch.
That made it worse. That made it much worse. This whole mannequin story is just skeeving me out a little bit. Why do you have a mannequin? Why are you a 40-year-old person with a mannequin?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I don't understand. Somebody enlighten me. Hashtag mannequin love.
No, unless you're some sort of fashion designer or something, you don't need a mannequin. So that's when the mother got up and subsequently ran from the house. The police report have no idea why Dankner had a mannequin. So even the police are confused. Yeah, we don't know. Why is this a thing?
He had a mannequin, and he wanted it dressed, but he didn't want to dress it himself, and then he consoled it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, there's something here with this mannequin. I just can't get off the mannequin.
Yeah, it's weird. Dankner's mother was transported to a local hospital to check on any injuries that she had. Dankner was charged with domestic battery on a victim over 65.
That's a specific thing?
That's a specific thing, huh. Yeah. Apparently in Florida, yep. He's being held without bond in the county jail. So, there you go. Mannequins and dumplings.
That was weird. It's highly upsetting that this dude wanted his mom to dress a mannequin. I don't know.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Isn't that weird?
Yes.
It makes me very uneasy. Like, this dude has got problems, you know?
Yes, he does.
Wow. I mean, obviously.
And don't waste dumplings. Come on.
Right. Dumplings are delicious.
Yeah.
Don't waste. That's your dinner as well. So it's like you're wasting good food and you're not going to get to eat.
Man, I could go for some dumplings
I haven't had a dumpling in a while.
Let's go get some dumplings.
I'm about to.
Well, we can do that after one last story. Again, a Florida story, and this has to do with egg rolls.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A lot of Chinese food.
Yeah.
In Florida, odd news.
Well, this one, another weird food story.
Do you remember that song? I like Chinese food. Yeah.
Florida does not.
They don't?
Apparently, they keep throwing dumplings and egg rolls all over the place.
Oh, they're wasting egg rolls in this one, too?
Yeah. A drunk Florida man shoved his girlfriend outside a residence because he wanted to come in and eat his egg rolls, according to the cops.
roll. Shrimp on pin roll. You need the egg roll? I bring the egg roll. You eat the egg roll. I come out from a Tokyo. I say hey roll. Drive come roll. I drive real slow. You need the egg roll? I bring the egg roll. You eat the egg roll.
Yeah.
What was that?
That is the egg roll song.
Did you literally just type in egg roll song and hope for the best?
Yes.
And click the first result?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
This is the nature of the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's just like, I need a clip for egg rolls. Just goes to YouTube. Egg roll.
Please. What do you got?
What do you got?
What do you got for me? So, cops charge.
That's weirder than the story, Rich.
It's going to get even more weirder.
Okay.
Cops charged that 44-year-old Keith Johnson showed up at the victim's home around 8 p.m. on Monday night and began ringing the doorbell for 20 minutes straight.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Give up, buddy.
He's determined. Jeez. He's hungry.
He really wanted those egg rolls. They better have been good egg rolls.
The 60-year-old woman that answered.
Wait, you said 40?
He's 44. He's 40,
and she's
60.
Okay, so there's. And they're what? They're in a relationship?
Well, it turns out that the two had a casual relationship on and off for more than 4 years.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
I guess
whatever floats your boat. That's like, that's a 16-year difference,
yeah,
though.
A little cougar action, I guess, technically.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, unfortunately, this was not sexy at all. The victim noted that Johnson was intoxicated. The victim said that he wanted to eat all the egg rolls that were in the house. Yes, he loves the egg
rolls.
It
makes it sound like there's a huge stash of egg rolls somewhere. All the
roll.
Egg
rolls. Roll, shrimp on pin, roll. You need the egg roll? I bring the egg roll. You eat the egg roll. I come out from a Tokyo. I say, hey, roll. Drive come at, roll. I drive real slow. You need the egg roll? I bring the egg roll. You eat.
Yeah, so get those egg rolls out. So when the
how do you know there were egg rolls there?
Well, like, they were banging, so maybe he knew that there was a secret stash of egg rolls somewhere.
What?
What?
They were banging, so he knew when egg rolls were going to appear.
I mean, they were banging on and off for more than 4 years.
That doesn't mean he knows when there's going to be egg rolls.
At some point, he must have searched around her kitchen or something.
For what, leftover egg rolls?
He just maybe stumbled across it.
You can't, what? Egg rolls, but see, when you say egg rolls, I think Chinese takeout.
Maybe she makes her own egg rolls.
So you think that she has, like, a store of egg rolls?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my story, that's what I'm going with.
Okay, so she's just got a secret stash of egg rolls. And he discovered them one time after they banged.
Yes.
He's looking around and goes, oh. Secret stash of egg rolls. I'll come back for you later.
I'm going to have to remember that.
I'm going to have to remember that when I'm drunk and angry.
Yes.
So he comes back later for that secret stash of egg rolls.
Yes.
Okay, sure. I can get on board with that.
Thank you. So that's when the woman stepped outside her home and said that she was willing to bring the egg rolls outside to him.
That's a fair compromise.
I actually think it's a pretty good compromise.
Right.
Unfortunately, though, Johnson didn't see it that way. That's when he shoved her to get through the front door.
I mean, you don't get between a guy and his egg rolls.
Yeah, he wants those egg rolls, man. Don't mess. Apparently, when he shoved through the front door, that caused neighbors to call 911. They arrived at the scene. The cops arrived at the scene immediately. When questioned by police, Johnson said that he just wanted the victim to eat up all of his egg rolls. So, yeah, you need to go get the egg rolls and eat them up for me.
Right.
Asked if he pushed the woman, Johnson admitted that I did push her, but I'm sorry, I had to get inside to eat my egg rolls.
Oh, my God. It's a matter of life and death, okay?
Yeah, come on.
He was really desperate for those egg rolls.
Yeah.
Like, he even gave the story to the cops.
Like he thought my egg rolls.
He thought it was serious enough to be like, this is the perfect story.
Come on.
Gotta get them egg rolls.
Officers arrested Johnson for battery. He's being held in the county jail on a $500 bond.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't shove your way into a resident.
Yeah, you can't physically assault people for egg rolls. They're $1.30 at the Chinese takeout place.
But
$1.30.
But
Rich.
He wanted his stash.
His secret stash of egg rolls.
Yes.
Were they special egg rolls?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was a lot. Maybe it was like.
Maybe it was. Yeah. Maybe it was. Like, I don't know. Do they sell egg rolls? Like frozen egg rolls? I don't even.
Oh,
know.
Oh yeah. There's probably something in like the frozen aisle.
There has to be. Yeah. So.
Or maybe she makes her own egg rolls and they're really tasty.
And there's like a whole container of egg rolls.
I make like. Maybe she makes like 50 of them at a time and like stores
right,
them.
Right, and stores them for, you know, she just pulls out an egg roll or two.
Hey, you just want a snack.
Yeah, right. So he's going for like the big haul. This wasn't like one or two egg rolls that you order out.
All
this was like,
of the, I want all of the egg rolls.
Yeah, because when they talked about it, she said he wanted to eat all the egg rolls. It made it sound like there were a lot of egg
rolls.
Yes. You don't say all the egg rolls if there's not a lot of them,
right? Right. You don't say for two egg rolls.
Right. You don't say all of them. Well, how many were there? Two. No.
Lame.
Yeah. No. No. You say he wanted to eat the egg rolls.
You have to say all egg rolls at seven or more.
I agree.
I think that's a fair number.
Yeah. You don't need to specify all if it's a small number.
Yes.
If it's less than a handful, you don't need to say that. I don't know. Am I totally off base?
I don't
probably.
Think so.
Okay.
And it's egg rolls. It's very important.
Yeah. I like the idea that this lady had like a huge stash of egg rolls, though. Like, I like this reality. It's probably not accurate, but I like it nonetheless.
You know, you could do this. You could have your own stash of egg rolls as well.
I'm going to start a stash of egg rolls.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy them.
Put it in a secret location. Well, you're going to need a refrigerator to keep them.
Your secret location is the fridge.
Yeah.
Or the freezer.
Maybe get a little mini fridge. Do you still have your mini fridge from college?
I do.
There you go.
It's
bam!
It's got a devil painted on the front.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect one.
The devil means egg rolls.
Yes. You have to store the egg rolls and you have to just pray Satan. That's all you have to do. It's great.
It's very simple.
Very simple.
Very simple.
You have to listen to Ghost while you're eating the egg rolls.
I mean, perfect combination.
I think it's
when you think egg roll, you think Swedish death metal.
Yes.
Of course.
Of course.
You go, this Asian cuisine is delicious and will go perfectly with my Swedish music.
Yes.
Here in America.
Perfect.
Multiculturalism.
America.
America. There you go. Perfect.
There you go. That's the non-fortune cookie odd news for this week. So, Mike, good luck. This is time for you. It's time for your segment to go over what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, so we're gonna store egg rolls in your mini refrigerator that has the devil painted on it.
Yes.
And we're going to listen to ghost music when we take out a egg roll and eat it.
Yes. You have to practice multiculturalism by eating the Asian cuisine while listening to Swedish music in America.
Excellent.
It's perfect. It's the essence of America right there. It's truly a melting pot.
That's my country.
Egg rolls and Swedish music.
That's my country.
How do you get the egg rolls? You go grocery shopping. You buy them, and we heard from my mom earlier that you have to bag your own groceries. Otherwise, they're just going to crush everything.
Yeah, damn bag.
They're going to put the detergent on the chicken.
They don't know what they're doing.
Bag boys and girls. Girls can be bag people, too.
Yeah.
Bag people?
Yeah,
that doesn't sound right.
Bag people? Is that bag what we call people? Them?
I don't know.
The bag people?
Baggers. Baggers.
Baggers?
There we go.
Oh, that doesn't even sound right either.
I like bag people.
We're trying to get both genders here.
Right. That's right. Bag people. You have to bag your own groceries. Don't let the bag people do it. Because they'll crush your food. Also, we learned that Rich is super old.
Yes, apparently.
He's racing to his rocking chair to have his old people drinks, watch his old people sports.
Yeah,
complain about his old people problems.
He doesn't like
the kids. He doesn't like the video games. He doesn't like this modern stuff.
Yeah, I don't like the way this generation's going.
Yeah, he doesn't like the whippersnappers.
Yeah, damn whippersnappers.
Damn whippersnappers. But I have to admit, I'm old too when it comes to video games. We don't like this new scary future. We disagree with everything. And there's one other thing that we disagree with. David Lee Roth. Thinking that he is relevant alongside a DJ.
David Lee Roth should never go anywhere near an electronic DJ ever again.
Absolutely. He is banned. We also know that he is a prepubescent turkey.
That's right.
Being slaughtered.
That's right.
So there you go, conspiracy theorist. David Lee Roth is a young turkey.
Perfect. And there you go. That's what we've learned in this episode of the Chris Munoz Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another great episode in the books. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week. A lot of things that we've learned about ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
It's been an interesting journey.
It has.
Filled with philosophical life lessons.
Yep.
And
about bagging your own groceries.
Yeah, make sure you bag your own groceries and you don't trust the whippersnappers.
Right. Damn whippersnappers.
Yes.
They're snapping their whips. I don't like it. The term never made sense to me, but whatever.
Oh, man. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Chris Munoz Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure to check out our website, thechrismunoz.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. Follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Instagram at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos, interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcast. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts.
Also, check your podcast feed because if you missed out, there was a special edition on April 1st that you might want to go check out.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It involved dead presidents.
Yes, it
did. Oh, interesting.
So if you missed out, go back and check your history because there's a special episode there for you. If you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLieBig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo. Send us your sports, entertainment, and odd news stories. We'll take it all under advisement.
That's right. Let us know what's happening. And yeah, we'll take everything under advisement. If you want us to talk about something on the podcast, if you have an odd news story that you think we should read on the air, yeah, let us know. We'll take all things into consideration and we might give you a shout out on the podcast. Oh, man. But I think for right now, we're going to have to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Popia.
How you doing, United States of America?
Well, I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble.
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.